A very good morning to you. You know technology, name. You know technology is those things that you sometimes you can't do without, but sometimes you get just so frustrated because, you know, it just doesn't want to do what you want to do, you know? So, and it doesn't speak. Maybe you should get an AI that, you know, you talk to. We do that already, but yeah, we are here. Good morning. There was a little bit of a glitch, but we are here. Good morning. How are you this morning? It's a Friday. Friday, it's always have a different, you know, a different vibe to it. So hopefully the same vibe that I do have is the same vibe that you do have. That's Friday vibe, kind of, you know? So good morning. How are you? It's a Friday, the 5th of December, the last month of the year. You know, welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station. So thank you, David, for crossing that mic, you know, here to Ondangwa Studio. So Big Mike is now on the mic and I will be with you until 10 o'clock when I will be handing over again, you know, that mic to Tate Franz. Around 10 o'clock. So we have 2 hours, you know, to do this. So welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshovedi, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, you know, economics and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear. And always, always, always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So our time is about 12 minutes past the hour of 8. And thanks for joining us. And thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this point in time. So as usual, we start with what happened on this day in Africa. So welcome to On This Day in Africa, and let's take a quick look at some key moment in the history on the continent. Today we remember, sadly, we remember a pivotal moment in history. On this day, December 5th, back in 2013, the world lost Nelson Mandela, the first black president of South Africa, and a symbol of the fight against apartheid. So Mandela passed away at the age of 95 in Johannesburg after battling a long illness. So his death sparked a global wave of mourning and tribute from every corner, from every corner of the world. And on this day in 1971, Libya made a bold move, nationalizing BP oil concession within its borders. So this was a major step in asserting control over the country's natural resources, making a significant moment in post-colonial Africa's drive for independence and self-determination. And in 1977, on December 5th, Egypt, under President Anwar Sadat, took a dramatic step in the region's politics. So the country cut diplomatic ties with several Arab nations, including Syria, Libya, and Iraq. So this decision came after Sadat's historic visit to Israel, signaling a major shift in the Middle East and North Africa diplomacy. And in 1973, on this same date, Zambia's President Kenneth Kaunda, KK, was re-elected with an overwhelming 88.8% of the vote in a yes-no referendum. So it was a moment of political affirmation for Kaunda's leadership in the country. And that's your look at on this day in Africa on the 5th of December. So good morning to you. If you're just joining us, you are tuned into Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So what is our thought for the day on the 5th of December, on Friday for that matter? So when you are asked to look up, never lose sight of what is on the ground. So, and that goes to those who are, you know, is it integrated? What is the counselors? So they're being inauguration. Yeah, they're being inaugurated today. So, and that goes to those and any leaders that any leader out there. So when you are asked to look up, never lose sight of what is on the ground. Now, looking up means aspiring, aiming higher, seeing the bigger picture of future possibilities. And what is on the ground stands for your foundation, your values, origin, responsibilities, the people or community you come from, or what is real and present now. So, a leader might be encouraged to strive for greatness, reach for the stars, as they said. But a good leader must remain grounded, humble, aware of where they come from, who they represent, and the need of those they lead. So the proverb promote a responsibility and integrity. You don't abandon your people or principles. You reached higher. So just because you reach higher, you don't abandon people or principle or your principle. So it's a caution. The proverb is a caution against becoming detached or arrogant. You know, success or elevation should not make you forget the ground. Remember the ground, your values, community, origins, or the foundation that help you grow. So shouldn't forget, shouldn't make you forget that or detach from that. So that's our thought for the day, that, you know, when you are asked to look up, never lose sight of what is on the ground. So make sure that the decision you made today and the choices that you make, you remain, relevant, that you don't forget the ground, your values, your community, the origins, and the foundation that help you to grow. So that's our thought of the day, and very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning. Our time is about 18 minutes past the hour of 8. So it's a terrible morning. It's it's just that it's hot. It's hot. It's terribly hot. I can imagine it's 8, and the weather is just something else. I think I wasn't meant to be in this country at all. Maybe I was meant to be in another country. I think God put me in a different country. I was meant to be in those cold, you know, freezing kind of, maybe Alaska, that kind of countries, you know, where you're really freezing to death. Yeah, I would love that, you know. Not here where you actually are. You are the one on the braai stand. You are the steak. Here we are the steak. All right. So hopefully your town, it's a bit much cooler. The weather in your town is much, much, much better. Well, if you're traveling or you coming to this side of, make sure that, you drink a lot of water. Drink a lot, a lot, and lots of water because, you know, you can easily be dehydrated. So, all right. So what do we have today? What do we have? What are we going to talk about? What are we going to discuss today in the show? There are quite interesting stories that are happening in Namibia. Namibia health sector lacks specialist doctors. So that's a big one. You know, that's a big one and really shocking. The numbers are shocking. So let's get into that one. And also, we can also, this is what I was supposed to, I wanted to cover this yesterday. Namibian president named African leader of the year. So we're going to look at that also today. Hopefully if we have time. And yeah, Namibia's October 2025 trade balance. We're going to look beyond the headlines there. So, and of course, as usual, your participation will also be part of the show. So you're welcome. So let's unpack this together. And we do that just after this short break.
Omutiha with the Kirokabuna, E. Matina, Omjo. She calls a fat and anana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikamoshiwana, E. Moyawa, or Tango got the family. Ana Gishifa, Yanamibia, of the Dombanawa, Omjika. Faithanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Longishifa, Yokupitramo, Ekelefem Media House. We 20 Meneha, Uruka Kombanga Nina. Kara on Pashi Freki, we mopo, you more program than the two. More and more, Lingira Selma, or the Rahita team. That in the two, Hari Hamanotano, or the Arch. Eagle FM, your
Yes, right. This is Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. And today is a Friday. That means the village, our edition, the Friday edition is out. What is that? Sean Bay was actually going through telling you what are the articles that you can find, in today's edition of the village. And if you're really looking for the latest business and economic news, that's where you go. Get yourself a free copy of The Villager by simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44. And so you will be receiving The Villager for free. And The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Make sure, if you haven't, make sure that you're not Monday, you get your copy. So make sure that you subscribe. So 081-241-44, that's where you can send your name and email. All right, so welcome. So now let me start by asking you, okay? I'm going to ask you something personal. Now, have you, or maybe someone you love, or someone you know, your neighbor, or your friend, your cousin, your whatever, have you ever had to wait for weeks? Have you ever had to wait for weeks? Or people you know, maybe a month, could be a month, you know, to see a specialist doctor. Have you ever have to wait for weeks, even months, because that specialist doctor is not available? You know? Have you ever been told the doctor you need is in Windhoek and you are in Katima Mulilo? You are in Kiet Mazuop, and you are forcing, you know, you are forced to travel actually 100 of kilometers for that care, for that treatment. Worse, you have probably ever to travel most of the time. You have to travel to Cape Town. So for that care. So, all right. So, have that happened to you? Somebody's already knocking on my door. Maybe something, it's emergency or something. Good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm doing fine. Is it Eagle FM?
Yes, it's Eagle FM.
I'm sorry, sir, I don't want to be on air. I just wanted to report I'm calling from Motabe Koshuaromo, this side of Kakarara.
You want to report what?
We're having a problem with the radio since like 6 months.
Oh yeah. I think we understand your cry, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, and in the meantime, if you have a smartphone, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, just we have an app called Eagle FM, you know?
Yeah.
So just download that. If you download that, you'll be able to, you know, to listen to Eagle FM.
And now if I download that app now, if I'm not on the WhatsApp, in the WhatsApp or data, how can I listen to it or what?
Yeah, no, it doesn't take much of the data. So, it's very, very low consumption when it comes to data. So, but you're going to be using data. But for the meantime, just download that so that you can listen, to Eagle FM. You can remain connected now and then. All right.
Okay. Sir.
All right.
Thank you. For now, you are going to tell me that I'm going to just waiting for.
So yeah, no, we're definitely working on that, and then you know, I can't tell you a definite time when the frequency probably can back or so. But for now, use the Eagle FM mobile app. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, my man.
All right.
Well, if you want, wherever you are now, and if there are no frequency, so please do download the Eagle FM mobile app. To remain committed, I mean, to remain connected and to also follow, listen to your favorite shows, so that you don't miss that. Yeah. So the other thing is that, guys, this is where the world is going now, you know, sooner or later. so you probably won't have frequency anymore. So that's where the world is moving. So we're just moving ahead before everyone gets there. All right. So welcome. Come back. Thanks. Come, you know, let's get back to where we are. Yeah, that's why I said, okay, I wanted you to just asking you personally, you know, if you have experienced that or you know someone who have experienced that. And probably each one of you, I bet many of us are nodding our head right now. That yes, a new report has just come out that puts some shocking numbers to that feeling. If that happened to you, there are a report, as I said, that's actually putting some shocking numbers to that feeling. It is the latest annual report from the Health Professional Council of Namibia. And let me tell you, it paints a very worrying picture of our nation's health, really. It doesn't look that good at all. Now, and we are not just talking about the long queues, you know, the things that we normally talk about when you go to the clinic, the long queues that you have. We're talking about serious, critical shortage of the people we trust with our lives. Critical shortage of people we trust with our lives. So today we are going to unpack, this. What do this number, okay, these numbers that in the report are really mean for you, for me, you know, for your family and for the future of Namibia, because that's what we look out here. So we go and look, what does really this mean? Okay, we don't just present it to you. We kind of looking at how does this impact you? All right, let's get straight into it. Well, the report from the Health Council is essentially a national health checkup. It's more like a national health checkup, and the diagnosis is not good. All right. It confirms what many of you probably have experienced or have suspected for a long time, what is going on, and we are running dangerously low on doctors. We're running dangerously low, very, very, very low on doctors, and especially specialists, you know, especially specialists. Let's not beat around the bush. Some of these numbers are shocking, as I said. Imagine this, for our entire nation, over 3 million people, there is only one registered anesthesiologist, you know, only one anesthesiologist, one registered anesthesiologist, just one person officially qualified to put you to sleep safely for a major surgery. That there's only one. It's not me. I'm just This is from the report from, you know, from the health council. So, all right. So only one person registered anesthesiologist. You know, these people have difficult, you know, title, man. All right. And there is only one. We're going to come back after this. Okay.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impact? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. Our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 8. All right, we're looking at the report of Health Council, okay? That really, as I said, it's more like doing a diagnosis. You know, and for in on our health. All right. And as I was saying, you know, the numbers are really, really, really shocking. So now, we look at the anesthesiologist. So we have only one registered. Okay. I'm not going to repeat that name again. So, but we have only one, okay, someone, a person officially qualified to put you to sleep safely for a surgery, for example, okay? We have only one registered, okay? And there is only one neurosurgeon, okay, that I can be able to say it. There's only one neurosurgeon, the expert you need if you have a serious head injury or some kind of a brain tumor, yeah, the brain tumor or something like that. So that's the person you normally go to. We have only one. One. In Portuguese. Yeah? Not dos, not dos. Okay? So one neurosurgeon and one medical oncologist. You know the oncologist, to treat cancer with chemotherapy. So we only have one as well. One. So just let that sink in. Seriously, do we take these things seriously? Just let that sink in. One, just one. I want that to sink in a little bit. Eh? And this is not just about a few fields, okay? This is not just about a few fields. The list goes on. We have only a handful of specialists to deal with the critical care, you know, like heart surgery, heart surgery or kidney problems. So we don't, or with other critical care as well, the list goes on. Okay? So it's like trying to run a national headline, okay? Airline, let's say, for example, an airline with only one pilot, one aircraft controller, and one mechanic. Eh? So it is not just risky, but it's unsustainable. It's unsustainable. But think about that if you have only one. And this happened. Just imagine you are in Katima Morino, eh? And this person needs a surgery, a urgent surgery, you know. Then the person, you have to be flown to Windhoek. And if you don't have the means to do that, you're gone. Eh? So there could be many people who could have been saved, you know, people who could have been really, could have not gone, yeah, could have died. Just because of the lack of service, a lack of specialists who can be able to provide that service. Really think deeply about this, you know. So now the health council itself put it plainly. They put it plainly that they say the number of registered practitioners is far, far, far below, it's far, far below what our country actually needs. They say that. That's what they said. It's far below than what we actually need. You know, and they're sounding the alarm bell. This is the alarm bell telling us the system is stretched to its broken point. Eh? The system is stretched to its breaking point. That's what they're telling us. Eh? So, and we're not just talking about, you know, it's not just the higher level surgeon, you know. Think about something like, think about the, as basic as dental health, you know. Now, the report say, let's, for example, dentist. Where is it? Okay. So the report say, we have just under 300 dentists. Under 300 dentists. In the whole country. Under 300. Now, okay, I wasn't good at math, but I can do this. Okay. That works out to roughly one dentist for every 10,000 Namibian. Yeah, 300 dentists in the whole country. Take about, you know, 3 million or so. So that works out that, roughly one dentist for every 10,000 Namibian. So if you ever try to get an urgent dental appointment, you know exactly what the statistic feels like, you know, like in real life. It feels like pain, you know, waiting, and definitely frustration. And, you know, when you go to the state, so you're not going to get a doctor, a dentist on that day. You normally come maybe after three or in the next week or something like that. That's exactly the point. So you know this. You experience this. So the first part of this story is the numbers. Okay, and the numbers are telling us we are in trouble. We are in trouble. I don't want to use the other words. I would have used it, you know. So we are in trouble. I'm using the decent word. All right, we are in trouble, and that's a serious. It's really, 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 really serious. Yeah. Now, why is this happening? Yeah? Why is this actually happening? Yeah? We just laid out the shocking reality of our doctor shortage. So the big question now is why? Why? How did we fall short so badly? Yeah? How did we fall short so badly? Well, a report can give us the number. Okay, the report can give us the numbers, but it doesn't always tell the whole story. Let's do some digging. Okay, we're gonna do some. And remember, this is not something that happened overnight. Eh? So it is a problem with deep root. First, let's talk about the famous, the brain drain. Eh? So the brain drain. We train skilled doctors. We do train doctors. But can we keep them here? Can we keep them here? A Namibian trained doctor is highly skilled. They are highly skilled, a Namibian trained doctor. And they can get a job anywhere in the world. In countries where they pay, they go to the country that pays higher. Working hours are better. And the hospital are equipped with the latest technology. So can we keep the doctors that we trained, that Namibian trained doctors? So we have to ask ourselves, are we creating an environment that makes our best and the brightest want to stay and save their own people? Are we creating that environment that makes our best and the brightest, you know, want to stay and save their own people? I know a couple of you know, that are good doctors, good doctors, but they are not here. I have even a friend of mine that is actually in the SA, you know, good doctor. So that's these are just few that I know. What about those you know? Now, secondly, Secondly, what about training pipeline? The training pipeline. The report notes a drop in the number of medical intern last year. There's a drop in the number of medical intern, and that should be a massive, that should be a massive red flag. Why? Internship are the final critical step to becoming a doctor. So if those numbers are going down, it means our supply of new doctor is shrinking, not growing. Simple mathematics, even if I wasn't good at it. Simple mathematics. So it means that our supply of new doctors is shrinking. It's not growing. So, and why is this happening? Why this is happening? Is it lack of funding for intern position, or are our universities not producing enough graduates, or are the spots simply not available? What is this? Why is this happening? That's the question that we need to ask. Why this is happening? Now, the other thing, okay, and let's bring us to the to a huge, huge, often unspoken issue, the urban-rural divide. And now you're probably thinking, in terms of lack of doctor, how does that fit into that? Well, I'm coming to that. The urban-rural divide. Well, the report highlights that the new specialists we do, the one we do have, are almost all concentrated in urban centers, mostly in Windhoek, mostly in Windhoek, in the capital, Movenduka, Otomite. So that's the urban-rural divide that I'm talking about. So, and that creates a two-tier healthcare system. Healthcare system. If you live in the capital, you have a chance of seeing a specialist. But if you live in a rural village, your local clinic is likely staffed by a general doctor, an incredible, hardworking nurses who really are forced to handle complex cases far beyond their scope sometimes, So in a rural, you are unlikely to see a specialist. So that's where we are. Is it fair? Is it fair that your access to life-saving care depend on your postal code? Is that fair? You understand what I mean? It's supposed to be a joke. My jokes sometimes are dry. They don't really, spark that. All right. So, is it fair? And why are we in this situation? And the other thing, and finally, on this, let's consider the pressure. The report warns that the higher patient loads are putting unsustainable pressure on the few health workers that we have. Unsustainable pressure. That's what the report say. Think about that. Think about that one neurosurgeon. That one we have, that only one that we have. The stress, the burnout, the vicious circle. It's no wonder they don't look happy. No other doctors don't look happy, They look worn out. They look stressed. These are the people we should look at as if, okay, they should be the happiest people. They should be. But because of the amount of the work that, of the amount of pressure, because of the shortage of people. Just think of that one neurosurgeon. Only one in the country registered. The stresses that this person is going through, that doctor's gone, the burnout, the money might be good, but you can't enjoy it when you're always working. You want injured. He can't. Where would he go? He doesn't have. He won't have even leave. So if you have to have a leave, we have to hire someone maybe coming from South Africa, you know, to come in his place. And, you know, that's the situation we find. And that's a reality. That's real, real life here in Namibia. Okay? So overworked doctors are more likely to leave the public sector. You know, they are more likely to leave the public sector or even the country for that matter, making the shortage even worse for the for those left behind. So pressure is also an issue. So it is, well, it's a complex mix, you know, it's a really a complex mix. We are losing talent, that one thing, with the brain drain. When you look at our training pipeline, it's very shaky. We're not producing, you know, doctors fast enough. And as we can see, is actually going down. Specialists won't go to the rural areas. As we said, we don't have them at the rural areas. It's not even not going to the rural areas. We don't have them, you know. The only one we had actually going around was Dr. Mandume. Dr. Ndume, yeah. So the eye specialist. So, yeah, specialists won't go to the rural areas. We don't have them in the rural areas. So, and we are burning out the few heroes, I would say, the few heroes that we have left. So we're burning them out. We really, really stress them out. So something got to be done. Yeah? So now you're listening to Eagle FM. And we are unpacking the critical shortage of doctors in Namibia. So, and we have talked about the number. We also look at the why, the reasons why. All right. So, but what does this all mean really for you, for average person listening right now? You know? So now I think this is not just a government report. Okay. That's why I found it interesting to bring it here. It's not just a government. This is about our lives. It's about our lives. So it means that when a child in a poor get critically ill, they may not have a pediatrician. They may not have a pediatrician nearby actually to save their life. And that's a truth, people. That's a truth. It means an elderly man in Lourdes or anywhere having a heart attack has to be stabilized and flown hundreds of kilometers. Yeah. And that's losing precious time and sometimes losing precious time. Do you understand? We could be losing many people just because of the shortage of medical personnel. So, and the mental health crisis that we have, it means our mental health crisis continues to simmer beneath the surface. So the report states we have only 56 psychiatrists, the shrinks. So I'm included in that, but I'm not a psychiatrist. So I'm a behavior psychologist. So now, 56 psychiatrists. For a nation grappling with the higher rate of depression, trauma, and suicide, especially among our youth, this is simply not enough. It is simply not enough. So, and do you remember when we were talking about the mismatch? The number of fields that we actually professional that we are produced in massive quantity, you know, nursing, and then nursing is one of them. We're gonna look at that now. Nursing, teachers, and business administration, or all the other things which now, you know, have no there are no, you know, market for those. Okay, or if there are market are limited, you understand. But we have, like here, we're talking about, you know, where these are the issues where we have really shortage of professionals, of personnel. So, yeah, it leaves people suffering in silence, as I'm talking about in terms of, we're talking about, we are grappling with higher rate of depression in this country, trauma and suicide. And sometimes it's just because there are no personnel to be able to help, you know. So, and that leaves people suffering in silence without the professional help they desperately need. So, yeah. So the report is a story about waiting, you know. I'm looking at it as it's a story about waiting. You know, waiting in pain for a diagnosis. You're waiting in pain for a diagnosis, waiting for a surgery. That could change your life. You're waiting. For many, it is a wait that they cannot afford. Really, this is a wait that we cannot afford. So think about that. But let's balance. Let's balance this. Okay, there is also one area where the report shows some strength. There are also some strength. Nursing, okay? Nursing, we have over 22,000 registered nurses. So with 1,000 more in training, and we have 1,000 more in training. So our nurses are the backbone of our healthcare system. So, yeah, they are the ones on the front line. In our health system, in every clinic, hospital, ward. So holding this fragile system, they are the one that holding this fragile system together. So we must celebrate them. Honestly, we must celebrate the nurse and really be thankful that we have this profession and we have those that are committed and all that. So they are the one who really holding this fragile system together. So, however, we also have to be careful. Is our strong number of nurses accidentally masking now the doctor's shortage? Yeah? Is that masking, you know, the doctor's shortage? Are we leaning so heavily on our nurses that we are asking them to do the work of doctors? Well, without the same training, without, of course, same pay, that has to come in equation, maybe without the same support as well. It's a dangerous path to walk, really. It's a dangerous path to walk. And if you're listening to me, Dr. Lovindao, that's a dangerous path to walk. All right? So, what is being done? All right? It's just this hanging in the air, and we are desperate in need of this. Is there anything that is being done? Well, the government has recently allocated $185 million to hire over 1,500 new health personnel. So this is a positive step. Of course, it's a positive step. It shows the problem is being acknowledged at the highest level, okay? So Mrs. Lovindao is aware about it, okay? It's being acknowledged. Now, but we have to ask this critical question, okay? Now, when we talk about, is this a long-term solution or a short-term fix? Is this just, okay, this is the problem. Let's quickly just fix this, okay? Where will these 1.5 people come from, all right? Are they the specialists we are desperately need? Are they now the specialists that we mostly need? Eh? Or are they just junior staff that we already have in plenty? So, and will this funding be enough to offer competitive salary, for example, competitive salary that convince our doctors to stay in Namibia, the brain drain that we're talking about? Or to work, sometimes it's just to work in an you know, in the rural area, for example, okay? Underserved, you know? So to work in those underserved rural areas. Would that offer a competitive salary, you know, that would convince our doctors to, you know, want to stay in Namibia or actually work in rural areas? Well, I have no answers to those questions. I'm just throwing it for you to think, you know, where we are. And sometimes throwing money at the problem doesn't always solve it. We have seen that. We need a strategy, a real national plan, you know. We need a strategy. So now this means we need to think bigger. Yeah. Should we be offering massive incentive for doctors maybe to work in a rural region for a few years? So that could be also a way. Can we partner with other countries to bring in specialists to train our own people? I'm just thinking on top of my head. What can we do to massively expand the training capacity maybe at our, you know, so at our own universities, like UNAM schools of medicine. So what can we do to massively expand the training capacity? I think so. Well, normally comes to money, which we don't have. All right, which we don't have. So this conversation, guys, is not just for the politician in the parliament or the officials in the Ministry of Health. This is our conversation. This is a conversation for all of us. You know, it's a conversation for all of us. And that's where I want to bring you in now. So that's where I want to bring you in. I want to hear from you. What has been your experience with healthcare system? What has been your experience? Have you felt at the impact of this shortage? Have you? I can imagine every one of us have felt the impact of this shortage. So what is solution do you see? Okay, that also, we cannot just complain, but do we have solution? What solution do you see? So you know the drill. Our studio number is 08333-66091. 08333-66091. What do you think we as a nation should do? 08333-66091.
Omutiha with the Kirokabuna, E. Matina, Omjo. She calls a fat and anana, longish fa, ya, she became a shuana. E. Moyawa, or Tango got some money. Anagashi fa, ya Namibia, of the Tom Banawa, Omjika. Faith and Nina, Omeguro, Nida, Nitoma, Yue, Yongish Fire of Pitramo, Ekelefem Media House. We 20 Meneha Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara on Pashi Pregi, we mopo, you more program, and get you more and more than get a film. What are you talking about? Latin to Harry Hamanotano or the Arch. Ekelefem, the Arch.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, very good morning to you. Good morning. Our time is about 1 minute to 9 o'clock. Okay, 1 minute to 9 o'clock. So, we're talking about shortage of medical practitioners in Namibia. And it's not just a problem. It's not just a problem. It is it's a full-blown crisis. All right, it's a full-blown crisis, especially in a specialized field. So the numbers in the health professional professions councils report are really, how would they say, what do people say now? It's a wake-up call, you know? It's a really, really a wake-up call. So the numbers are just shocking, all right? So, yeah, and this crisis is the result of a deep-seated issue, brain drain, you know, training gaps, and severe, as we looked at, as we talked about, the severe urban-rural divide that we have ignored for too long. So those are some of the issues that you know, this is a result of some of these deep-seated issues. So, and this is not an it's not some kind of an abstract issue. It's not an abstract issue. It has a real, really, really human cost affecting our families and our mental health as well, and our very lives. You know, this has really a human cost. Yeah. So there are people who could have not, maybe who could have not died, because they couldn't afford, you know, traveling to Windhoek for a specialist. So those are the issues. Those are the real issues that are attacked. Those are the human costs that I'm talking about. So the long waiting times and lack of access are not just inconvenience, guys. So they are matter of life and death. They are matter of life and death. That's how serious that is. So while our nurses are our heroes, they are our heroes, and new government funding is welcome. We welcome the new government funding. We need a bold, long-term national strategy, you know, to heal our healthcare system. We need that. So, and this is a conversation that must come, you know, must continue in your home, eh? In your home, in your community, at your work, in the halls of power, you know. There's a conversation that we should have. So, you can come through our time. Our telephone number, 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So, what do you think? What is your reaction? What is your take? What is your contribution? So, 08333-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Omutiha utekirwa kagona imatina omjo chikao shafa sana nana longe shafa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moya wo ota ingongo tisamweni amege shafa ya Namibia omjitombwa na wa onjika seitha nina omayaguro nirandito ma iye yonge shafa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende kuimeneha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu moambo lengira Selma, con la gente aquí, la tienda tu, Jari Jamano Tano, con Diage, y que lo hacemos.
All right. Good morning. If you're just joining us, so you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So, all right. We're talking about shortage of specialists. And the impact of that, in our country. So as we looked at the numbers are shocking, really, really, really shocking. So what do you think can be done? Has this in some way, has this affected you? Has this impact you? Has impact, maybe not directly, someone you know, a friend, a family, a cousin, someone. So has that affected your community? Okay. So, yeah. So, yeah. You can come through. You can, you know, have your say. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. All right. So 9:05. That's our time. All right. So, yeah, I will let you, think through. I'll let you think about that and come through. It's Friday is always slow. I don't know why. Friday is always very slow. But there are stories that we would like you to, you know, to engage, whether now you come through or just, you know, raise some thought in your mind. All right. Very good morning.
Yes, good morning, sir.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm all right.
Okay.
Mm.
So, otherwise, let me participate in your program.
Hey, what?
I'm just trying to understand the reason why perhaps some of this task force.
Yeah.
Establish.
No, we're not talking about tax force.
Yeah, I'm talking about health.
Okay.
What do we do?
Okay. No. I get you.
To gaps and strategies and all these other things.
Yeah, no, I get your point now.
In health, for example.
Okay, no, I get your point. Yeah.
Now, so there is this task force that is I think it might be spearheaded by health, I don't know. But yeah. I heard it start. There are three actually from grown up.
Yeah, there's economy recovery. Yeah, there's economy recovery, yeah. There's health, and then there's land and housing. Yeah.
Mm. Wow. That's a genius.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure the part of them, they are mandated to review and see the policies and act and whatever,
yeah,
that is not really responding,
yeah,
possibly to the needs and the interests of the people.
Yeah.
So especially when it comes now to do things, because it is actually in health where we have heard a lot of scandals.
Yeah, it's quite a lot, yeah. In terms
and
of,
we have also read
procurement, in terms of procurement and all that, yeah.
That's one, no, it was now linked to politics and it was a very hot potato.
Yeah.
So now in this area, we are also told that it has recovered, the sector has recovered a lot of money.
Mm.
I think they are also trying to readjust the issue of this, what is the third part? What is the third person?
The middleman.
The middleman.
Yeah.
So now, these are some of the areas I think that they want to make sure that there is no duplication and the money is really deployed at the, you know, the social services and things like that.
Mm.
And they also, people are manipulating the the price.
Yeah.
So manipulating the price, you know, how do you call it? To increase the price,
yeah,
more than necessary.
Mm. Is the problem too big to overcome?
So now I think one of the areas that you might address the part of your question, the answer to your question,
yeah,
is perhaps those areas that they are trying to realign,
yeah,
the capabilities and things like that. Obviously, we need a lot of skills in those areas.
Mm.
So a lot of skills. Especially, so because you see now, I heard that education and health, in terms of nursing and things like that, is now oversupply.
Yeah, it's oversupply.
So,
yeah.
Mm. It surpassed the market demand. If those are the areas, issues, so you need to see how we can realign the finance and the capabilities, also maybe to introduce in those
It's actually to encourage some of these people who want to become nurses, to encourage them to become specialists, you know, to
become specialists and also become this. When it comes to farmers, pharmacy school and things like that. One of the professor, and is one of my my son. I can say it's my my young man because he grew up with me. So now. 2 years surrounding them, that those guys say, are you now studying this indigenous medication to establish some pharma industry and all these other things? So it is really a matter of maybe trying to shift their, you know, it's a paradigm shift, to shift their understanding and their interest, and then incorporate now these things rather than general nursing and community nursing and all these other things. It's important. But then, how do you then now absorb them in the market? So, you know, like, you know, I don't know, maybe. So I'm just saying that maybe to realign the upscaling and all these things. So maybe that's the task team. So you're also one of the answer.
Yeah. Well, let's see what they do. Let's see what they will come up with. So it's still at the very beginning of their duty. So let's, if they transform this.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mike, for giving me an opportunity.
Thanks for coming through.
Welcome.
08-333-66091. 08-333-66091. You know, Uncle Bono mentioned something. He mentioned the indigenous something. And then on my mind came the indigenous pharmacy. You know, can't we have a pharmacy that, okay, we talk about how much we go into indigenous medicine, you know? We always say that there's so much knowledge of local medicines, indigenous medicines. If locally we can be able to create some kind of like a indigenous pharmacy, you know, where if you want, think about this. Maybe I'm not just putting it in a way that how does it, that's much clear, you know. So there are a lot of people goes to traditional healers, I'm talking now herbalists, really. I'm not talking of those who actually, I'm talking the real one. They're really that can treat certain stuff, all right? So what if we have indigenous, you know, indigenous medicines in a pharmacy or some kind of, a pharmacy where you have indigenous medicines, where you can be able to go to, rather than go to different people, you know, I can just go to this indigenous pharmacy and have access to this kind of medicine. What do you think? Very good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
How are you, man?
I'm all right, and you?
I'm all right.
Indigenous healers.
No, actually,
I just come in. I just opened my radio right now. And then when you talk, you know, we need to come to conclusions. We need to study things and understand.
Yeah.
Indigenous healers.
No, I wasn't talking about
modern,
indigenous.
With the modern pharmaceutical.
Yeah.
The new doctors where you have to go to schools and graduate. If you have to compare, you compare it with communist and democracy.
Yeah.
Just think about it. It doesn't integrate. And then here comes what is this? Here comes the pastor.
Yeah.
See? Religions.
Yeah.
Religions, the pastors, is also the same. And you know, when they are talking, most of those are indigenous doctors. They use herb. They don't get anything else somewhere else. They go in the bush.
Exactly.
And they prescribe you to this
herb
and say, look, you have to take this for 2 days or 3 or 4 days or 2 months.
Yeah.
And then you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
let's have my argument. My argument is this, name. Let's say, for example, for real, I'm not just talking about those fat cunts, you know, those who just take chances, you know, and they are not the real. Let's say, for example, we have a really true traditional herbalist, you know, who when you have a specific disease, you can actually go there and they give you whatever herbs or medicines and you get better. Why don't we then, I'm kind of advocating for indigenous pharmacy. Instead now, once we know, okay, these herbs work, this one work, this one, why can't I just go to that pharmacy and then the knowledgeable people who are there said, okay, you take that. You understand?
You know, until today, I don't know how old were you when we go to our independence.
I was old, my dear, yeah.
Sam Nyoma came up with that policy, said everybody that is well known must be registered and given a license so that some of them can be in the hospital. Because sometimes these people keep in the hospital, but they are diseases or their body does not need this.
In South Africa, they are registered.
That is, even Uncle Mbana, if he can remember, he can testify that.
Yeah.
Because Sam Nyoma, I think I was 16 years of age by that. Not 16, but I think 14 year out. I could clearly hear him talking about in the radio, say, look, that is where we come from.
Yeah.
And that is the true reflect of our norm. We can't throw that away. Bring the peoples, register them.
Yeah.
Let's have somebody testing them that these people really knows, because these people are different.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, the modern medicines and then, you know, the politics and, you know, the politics of today, especially in the world of democracy, does not integrate norms and traditions.
Mm.
That is the biggest problem that we are actually having.
Yeah.
So that is how it is. I understand very well. It's a very, very important topic.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when we're talking about actually we come to that because we're talking about shortage of specialists in the country, you know? And there's a report from the National Health Councils of talking about the shortage of specialists. And the number is shocking, honestly shocking, you know?
Yeah, so, and you know, in fact, we have one of our nurses that actually have that knowledge, whereby they say, oh, look, this person that does not have to be in the hospital. Go home.
Yeah.
And then discuss with your mother.
Mm.
And then you take it from there. When somebody tells you that, obviously you know if you are a black person. But the modern, this, you know, we have lost everything, Mike.
We have lost
everything that we have. This is where we come from. It's a true reflect of us. And I don't know what to say.
Has created a bad picture about that? It's because now it's these things of people. You know, you are bewitched. It becomes like, you know, you are bewitched and then, you know, it's a bewitchment and all these kind of things. But there are just certain diseases that are normally just, you know, the tribal herbalist actually can cure without all this, you are bewitched or you are all those kind of things. Just a disease that is being treated there.
You know, there's a lady, I think I still have her audio. I think it's a Mbaja lady.
Yeah.
She said this is something within their family. Yeah. You know, this, what is the, how do we call this one? She was actually describing the symptoms and the signs. So when you look at that person, this is how it happens. And when it's that stage, if it doesn't, and that person is bound to collapse, to, 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 to follow, something like that.
I can do that myself.
And I still have the audios with a number. And these are the people that we need in the site.
No, I can tell you this. I can tell you, I can attest to that. I had a, this was long time ago. My sister's son was, have to always like have a, like one side paralyzed, you know, like a side is paralyzed. And he can fall down and all that. And he has been going to the hospital and to the hospital, but he actually, they don't see anything wrong. You know, there was nothing wrong. He can go to scan and all that, test are done. There was nothing. And he was taken to Angola, you know, to one of the traditional healers there, you know. And since then, nothing. Actually, he just became all right.
Yeah.
And this was something that physically I have witnessed it. I have witnessed it. And now, since then, nothing happened. You know? The person get cured.
Politics got involved in our traditional moments.
Yeah.
For us to be lost and just have life that is hanging in the air there. It is crazy. I'm telling you. Very, very crazy.
Yeah.
We have to go back. And this is what I used to tell people, that we have to go back and find out. You see, we had a topic, man. I just don't know how many times do I have now.
Yeah.
Of our traditional leaders. You know, you have a king, and then you have their people. Now, our king have an intelligence of his own.
Mm.
When somebody is coming from, especially with the white people, when they used to come here, and they come and then they only want to go to the palace, to the house of the doctor, I mean, of the king.
Yeah.
Before you go, you will not go there. You will not get there. You will have to come straight to that house, the intelligence now.
Yeah.
And that intelligence will integrate you, asking you, what is it? What do you want? Why do you want to meet the king? If you have bad intentions to do in that house of the king, you will not get there, even if they show you the way. That was the intelligence that we had. Today we don't have it.
Yeah.
Imagine if we can have that intelligence in a state houses. We have somebody who's coming to betray our leader, to do things that does not benefit us or something like that. Person can already see that.
Yeah.
It is nature. It is mother nature that gates us that. Can you say, no, that person went look? That person did not go somewhere else and look for that. It is just that power, that spiritual power that person has.
Yeah.
And it was created like that. Now, this person is not made by Satan or by born like that. You see?
One has to understand that there are people given gift, and those gifts were for the common good of the society. And definitely some maybe may have used it, to their own advantage or whatever, to the evil. But mostly much of whatever people know was actually for good, for the common good of the people, of the society. Yeah.
Of course, but we should also know, even if we have people that are actually using them to their own advantage, Mother Nature never fails, have provided the provisions of solving that.
Yeah.
You see, that is what they understand. So I have been following this man, a doctor called Dr. Sethi. You can Google and find out. This guy tells you, look, A human body does not need chemicals.
Yeah.
It needs minerals. What is minerals? Minerals are herbals.
Yeah.
That grows out of what? Of the soil.
Mm.
You see? So, and
minerals and vitamins, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, minerals and vitamins. That is what he's talking about. Mm. You don't need chemicals. You don't need any of those things.
Yeah.
Today we are following the Minister of Health, K.F. Kennedy, Jr., who was appointed by Trump. My friend, if you follow, you will wonder that the whole world was actually made as a market for the pharmaceuticals to benefit. The main aim was to actually get money, not to cure people.
Yeah, yeah.
So diseases were deliberately created so that a certain drugs of a certain pharmaceuticals have got 50% or 20% in each and every country. When our kids were healthy born, And then they say, look, we have to vaccine these cells in order to prevent a certain disease. That certain disease is within the vaccine that child is being given.
Yeah.
And it's true. So you find people being born with chronic diseases because of the vaccines that the children have been given when they were small.
Yeah.
And here we are under the impression that, no, we are preventing. You see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all right, man. Thank you for coming through, yeah?
Thank you very much. You forgot our topic that we were supposed to talk about yesterday.
Yeah, no, I have the second one coming up, actually. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Thank you both.
All right. Bye-bye. Mm.
08-333-66091. If you want to talk, on this critical shortage of specialists in Namibia, specialist doctors in Namibia. So and as we have looked at that, as I said, the number is absolutely shocking. All right.
Good morning. Morning.
How are you, man?
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Healthy, what?
Shortage of doctors, yeah, specialists?
Of doctor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that satisfied to the report.
Yeah.
Because the NASAF paying a lot of money.
Yeah, but shouldn't we deliberate enough, kind of deliberate enough to say part of the Vision 2030 is that it was that, you know, it's also a capacity building in terms of, you know, shouldn't we then be deliberate enough to say by each year we should actually produce about this how many number of doctors because we lack this type of specialist, this type of specialist. So we have some kind of an agenda or a plan or a strategy of getting all the specialists within a period of time.
Yes, we have that. Is on the NDPs.
Yeah.
But the issue, the political appointee that become. Especially in the office of the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Both things went up corrupt because if you look at Meme Sala at the time, she was really working hard into using those people.
Yeah.
Because the police said you have to work in the public health sector for 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, for 5 years for you to starting opening up your private practice. But nowadays, I don't know, the previous prime minister and this one also, they're allowing people to graduate and move on with their life.
Yeah.
So if they catch them, they catch them just to agree on paying back what you are owing. And those are now the problems that's causing shortage of doctors because people, they have certain places that they want to work.
Mm.
Yeah, especially Swakopmund and Windhoek. So at the end of the day, and we have also mining sector that is growing, which we need also the private practice, and you have if you are opening up a private practice, you are making money from the medical ID and all of those things.
Yeah. Mm.
So those are the that's why I'm saying I'm not satisfying enough from the report, because if they go to the health council where they are registered to those people, you're finding a lot of a list of special doctors, but they are not on public health sector.
Hmm.
Yeah, that is where the problem. It's the same with the lawyers. If you go to the law society, they will finding, I think it's three books, a list of those lawyers.
Yeah.
But in the state prosecutor, we're still in shortage of state prosecutors. So those are the issues that are causing by the office of the Prime Minister. Prime Minister was supposed to monitoring these people, and you remember when we were discussing about the shortage of five positions, and then we have only one that we are sending to Cuba.
Yeah,
that is the same impact which is we have. The public sector is crying.
We have the commercial quickly, and then we can continue from here. Yeah.
Imbaya riri ombo na hii etepa weza kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombe hukusha. Njiviro yoye iriri ombu pu wa hatane na wina ikare na masa kunurungu wa indu. Waliro ngere kusha umune ondengu ukura kwa imba. Una ovi umedia peke kwa ondola mirongo itatu na hambu umwe mumwe. So, kika ovingi nukukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. O presente dano kumyeve vitatu moshimariva. O presente umurongo kumyeve hambu umwe moshimariva. O presente mirongo ivari na dano. Kumyevya murongo na ivari moshimarifu. Itororela ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina wanyano kife. Ashiesho imba ya kupe oshimariva sisi hina omarifuro. Imba o maoronga neno uwebu haka enina. Itako na wina rishangika jinon.
All right.
Yeah. Mm. Because if you're starting using that policy,
yeah,
we end up having foreign doctors, and we have also Namibian specialists, because they can be working in the public sector for 5 years, for that 5 years, mm-hmm. which means everybody wanting to be. But if you allow it now, these people to come in, opening up a private practice for themselves, and then they hire the foreign doctors who is a specialist on that, to training here. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're taking doctors from somewhere, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and South Africa, to come and training, practicing maybe for three years, just to help, and then from there she taking up. Because she didn't do an internship in the state hospital.
Yeah.
So those are the problems that is not a small problem, it's a political interfering that is we're having in this country. And you remember when you guys were discussing yesterday about the BRICS,
mm-hmm.
You see, the person is already doing this as a geopolitics, because BRICS was not format. The idea was not like that. When it come from the capitalist country, because it come from Jimmy O'Neill, who is working on gold Sachs. So the Gold Sachs is an American company. Then they were just wanted to compete and see which country will picking their currency to beating the US dollar.
Yeah.
And they pointed to those countries because Brazil is a big market. Brazil is a big market. And it's communicating with the world. If you see a lot of products that they are selling from Brazil, they are winning. Those Havanas that you are all of voicing heavy, it's from Brazil. It's making the revenue for Brazil. So when that guy introducing it in 2001, it's taking about 8 years to finding the right people. And they do it as a geopolitics now. Chinese coming in. Russia doesn't have most of the social fabrics that they can venture with the world.
Yeah.
So South Africa, you see South Africa is corrupting, is mess up with this country because of this geopolitics. So there are no more factories, that is even cross factories. There are nothing. Those are the problems that BRICS is now. That's why MBS, the Saudi Arabia boy, he ran away from it because, you know, this is a political issue. It's not a big business thing, benefiting things. So that is why I think the health sector is also suffer, because most of the graduates, they're after money. They are not after the profession that they are signing on. So those are the problems that the OPM's office needed to be asking and implementing those. Not to bypassing because you are a politician. That is wrong, because Memesala was working with
do you think the task force that now has been, you know, commissioned to look into this, would that make a difference, you know?
The problem, if they identify it, yes, it can. Yeah. But I don't see this, whether there is people that they can identify these problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm doubting for this list of people. They don't look at it like DA was doing in South Africa.
Yeah.
Because DA come with something on the table. If these people will give them 6 months to come up with a table to presenting to president, the idea that this is what you want to do in this country.
This is what we want to implement. That's why I'm saying, if you look at Venezuela and our founding president, what they were doing, they were protecting what? The Namibians.
Yeah.
They were protecting the countries of benefit. They hire the foreigners, but they put in their place that you are not coming here to making money. You are coming here to training us in the agreement of these 5 years. And you go back where you are going back.
Yeah.
So those are now the things that here foreigners are coming in. Even if you go to UNAM, you find a lot of foreign letters.
Yeah, very. Yeah.
So that is now taking up the Namibian position. So those are the problems I'm saying. Politics, even in the United States, they don't run in the country with politics. No. They're running with the benefit of the Democrats or the Republicans.
Yeah.
You understand? So you don't come there to making difficult for the business people. No. You don't come there for making difficult for the public. No. You come there to make it easier for the public. You understand? You come easier for the business people so that they can bring in the country.
Yeah.
But here we don't have those type of politicians. We have politicians that is after their benefit.
Yeah.
What nonsense is that? You are issuing a tender that you know, or you are allowing those people to open up a private practice for them to benefit, to milking the what? The government, ruling the medical system. Because
yeah.
most of those people, that is where the problem I'm saying. I don't see any different from these people, or this panel that is Memene Tumbo created, but it was already there. It's a system that is requesting those things. But we never have a specialist. A really person that you know, to building up the country, this is what we need. But Meme Sarah is there, if you go to her and asking her that, why you people were making progress with the doctors, lawyers, and what? Because we were implementing this.
Yeah.
That we don't have now. That we don't have people that really specialist positioning this. And that is what I'm saying. We don't have a police that's preventing diseases.
Yeah.
We allow diseases to flocking in and start treating people. But if you leading on the word that says let us learn, let us send a task force in the villages, in where why we are ready with malaria every time? Because malaria is killing people.
Yeah.
We are always ready, we're buying nets, we're doing what for fornication and all of those things. We have them in the hand. But what about other diseases that you are talking about in mental health, what? What are we doing as doctors, as a health sector? What are we doing with those things? Are we sending people to screening those people? You go to schools, you're screening kids. That is the same with the vaccine.
Yeah, exactly.
So those are the type of things that you need to identify as a doctor, as a advice.
Yeah.
But if you are not identifying it, and it become a problem to the country. You are saying we don't know what this virus came from.
Yeah.
But we are not ready to preventing it. We are not ready to putting those epidemiology people.
Yeah.
That they can, because epidemiology is like a spy. They can always be there in any constituency. We need the one person that is always connected with the clinic. That these are the type of symptoms that are coming with the patients and all of that. We need you to report it to headquarters and window. And then they send it to the cabinet. Cabinet approving to sending more people to figure it out. What is, how is this things affecting people? Those are the type of advice that we need present to have in her table to understanding that, oh, I need to invest in money on this.
All right.
But if you don't have those, okay, Mike.
Yeah. No, thanks for coming to you.
We're talking about a shortage of specialist doctor in the land of the brave. All right. So, yeah. And in the meantime, let me get to this stories that I was supposed to look at yesterday. But you can come through and still engage on our early topic, on our early discussion. So now, there was this news that has, our national flag, if you like, flying higher in the headlines across Africa. So I'm sure you have seen it on your phones already or so. Now, the African Leader, the African Leadership Magazine has just announced its Persons of the Year for 2025. So, and our very own president, Her Excellency Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, has been named the African Political Leader of the Year, the African Political Leader of the Year for this magazine. So that's right. So not just in Southern Africa, so but the entire continent. So on top of that, another Namibian, the brilliant Dr. Esperanza Luvindao, has been recognized as the public health champion of the year. So a double victory for the land of the brave.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
Mike, it's a lovely day.
Yeah, it is lovely, but it's hot.
Very hot, man. Don't even talk about it in windows.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are dying for hotness.
It's terrible hot, man.
Very hot.
I keep saying I was not meant for this country anymore.
No, you can change the environment.
Opunana, when you tell them, no, it's hot, when somebody calls, yeah, how's the north? It's hot. I said, but you are born from there. When we were born, it wasn't like this, you know. No. It wasn't like this.
I think the climate will change. But the weather series is like in Windung,
yeah.
Now, like, it's already look like 2 o'clock already. Very hot, so it's not a joke.
My friend, you come out of bed, you are sweating.
Yeah, that's, you see now, that was the thing.
Waking up, you are sweating.
The weather.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mike, come to your point.
Yeah.
I like the brother with that lesson I was talking about, you know, that some foreigners, they come to enter Namibia and they are making difference for Namibia to progress.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to like issues of private doctor you see in the pharmacy. This guy they set up there, they come and change our room ceiling.
Yeah.
They do things.
So if you are sleeping, go talk off, people seriously. Go talk off, people make use of, you know, they take advantage of the loopholes that are in your rules.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the government, I think also they are protecting them. I think I was even talking to yesterday to France.
Yeah.
But they say, you know, what is really preventing us our business to achieve and what, why is, like, you know, things are there. If you send your kid to school,
yeah,
with a, that day. They even call the police on you. Because it's your child labor.
Exactly.
But the policeman in Namibia is buying you, what? Okay, now we're going to take a sausage.
Yeah.
Yeah, where to go? So now we're going to go to some of these things are twisted.
Yeah.
In our economy. So I see, in man, what does this apply? Always, so I said, bring me on the motherland for my broom. I would go home to China for your state house.
Yeah.
Male Namibian. Oh, let us tell him who come over again. First of all, I said, that's our friend. That's one ticket.
Exactly.
I know problem with you. Yeah. What I'm going to do is that I'm concerned when I call her.
Yeah.
Or come in a tomb, is me in a tomb getting her word. You remember? When the people are trying to, how can I put the word down? They are trying even just to broke your way for whatever you intend to do.
Yeah.
This kind of award they are going to get from them. Mm. Because why they cannot award what I blame Traore?
Yeah.
All the Senegal president. There are a lot of people we see they are cheating. Why in Namibia?
But this magazine, it's actually a British magazine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That I'm wondering now, how did they see it? What did they see with Namibia? They cannot see.
Yeah.
We are the one. We're supposed to say, yes, when they will achieve this.
Yeah.
What else she does, which you can touch and... apart from changing the cabinet rules, we're going to approach the... She does a lot, huh?
Yeah.
But seriously, this is not a support to come from Britain.
Yeah.
The people who are trying to sabotage our progress.
Yeah, I haven't finished the things that I really wanted to bring in and really expand. It's just to understand that she's at the beginning of the government, of the governance. You know, basically, when you're giving an award, it's what people have achieved in terms of the impact that have.
Which you can see. Maybe even get rid of Kabashi. There's no more Kabashi in Namibia, yes? High improvement is great.
Exactly.
Come on.
So you look at some kind of impact of the policy. The policy you put in place has somehow produced some impact.
Yeah.
You know, and then now you can be able to say, yeah, this person have achieved this and this and this. Yeah. So it's a bit premature. We celebrate it because, you know, we are on a international level that put Namibia on a public pedestal. But, you know, we as Namibian, we know that, well, there's nothing yet, you know. Maybe in the future there will be. We see that we're going in the right directions, but hasn't really, that's not time to celebrate yet, you know?
Yeah, for me it's too early.
Yeah.
It's too early for them to avoid the, and I think this is how they try to sabotage their progress.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes they say, what? It's better to a person doing something, then you all keep quiet, then later on it's where you are. Yes, you've done it.
Yeah.
But if you are celebrating a person who is already not even scoring the goal, it just comes from the substance, then you are,
yeah.
You are creating that, yes, Messi is already in the field. But nothing yet, Messi in that, it's creating the what? In the game.
Yeah.
This is a problem, I think they are trying to suppress. Then we are not, some of us who are in Namibia, we don't see much.
Yeah.
What they are seeing. Maybe they come to, they need to.
And we are the one who met us. We are the one who met us.
Exactly.
Not someone sitting in Britain, you know.
Yeah, Britain, what does it's a person from Britain feel?
Yeah.
To drink unclean water in the north.
Yeah.
Or to have electricity which just up and down, but you are in the hospital where the people are operating a person of what? Katoshe. Using cell phone. No.
Yeah.
They must not try to baptize our government progress. If a person is trying to do something, they must not just jump to conclusion.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I'm not with them at all.
All right.
Anyway, Mike, it's Friday off.
No, thanks, Sven. Thanks for coming through.
All right, my brother.
Well, this is a fantastic news. I mean, of course, it's a fantastic news. It's a moment of pride at our president and being celebrated internationally just over 8 months into her first term. So the official ceremony of this is set for Accra, Ghana. It's set for Accra, Ghana early next year. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for us. I mean, it's a big deal, but as I said, here is on Unpacking the Day. We don't just read the articles. We ask questions. You are probably already thinking. So, yeah. And, Now, first, let's celebrate the win. Okay? Let's not cynical from the get-go. Let's celebrate the win for our country like Namibia, this kind of recognition. It's a golden, it's an a positive PR for us in our world. In our world where the headlines about Africa are often negative, this story shines a positive light. You know, it says, look at Namibia,
their new leader. So something good is happening there. So, yeah. And this can be incredibly powerful. It can be incredibly powerful. It can attract investors, you know. It can attract investors who see a stable, well-led country. So it could boost tourism. It puts our president on the same stage as other influential African leaders, giving Namibia a strong voice in the continental's affairs. So imagine our president. Just imagine our president walking into an African Union meeting. All right. So he's walking into an African Union. She's not just a new leader for Namibia. She is the reigning African political leader of the year. That carries a weight. It is a soft power win, so we must celebrate it. And for the president herself, this is a massive vote of confidence, of course, so early in her term. And it validates her leadership style and the agenda she has set out. So the organizer said the winner are people who strengthen institutions, drive innovation, and safeguard peace. So these are beautiful words. They are now attached to her name.
A very good morning.
Yeah, Mike again.
Yeah.
That reward, why does it leaving Traore's? The moment Ibrahim Traore's staged a coup,
yeah,
they took the country, and the whole country rallies behind him. Everybody can see, the Western media can see, we African can see, and set the dust of actually doing what his people want. Why is he not part of that? Because he is now actually building refineries for his country.
But in the way you are saying, you can use illegitimate means to actually achieve something good. Would you actually support that kind of principle?
If it bears fruit, what is it that you want, you as a general public, or a Namibian, or a Burkinabe? What is it that you want?
That shouldn't be the.
You just don't want a person in theories with titles, a president or a minister or something. At the end of the day, you are not getting anything.
Yeah.
You got that person. He is actually giving you more that you were not support, that you were expecting the other person to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I understand what Traore have achieved. I definitely understand that and what he's actually trying to achieve. But there are certain principles that you follow as well. So then if you legitimate that kind of way of taking a government, like what's happening in West Africa. So if you kind of say, well, as long as you achieve the best what people want, I don't care the means you use, you know, that's become a little bit dangerous.
I'm trying to get you.
What I'm trying is that we're focusing on what Traore have achieved, but mm-hmm. we're not looking at that. Why can't we use the principle of democracy, for example? You know, you're voting for the government, and still be able to achieve what you want to achieve.
Mike, have you got examples of what Traore has achieved through democracy? Have you got examples? Just give me one example of a leader that went through that was elected through democracy, especially here in the global south, that seems to be more success than Traore.
So
then obviously, if you have one example, obviously.
So this is
the way to work. It has worked.
Yeah.
You see? But if you don't give me an example, this is the example that we have now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know what I understand now,
yeah,
like what is actually happening now.
Mm.
the Westerners, when they are actually being served, what they do is that if you want African peoples to rally behind their leaders,
yeah,
even if they don't do anything, but they don't, they normally don't do anything.
Yeah,
you start praising them, you award their leaders, you talk nice about their leaders.
Yeah,
even if they don't get anything from their leaders. Because you are praising them and you are their leaders, obviously they will rally behind their leaders. That is the methodology that they actually used.
Mm.
You see, and these are the things that we have to. And you don't forget that leadership has this method of revolutionaries. When one sees that it doesn't work, then obviously revolutionaries have to take over. And this is what has been happening throughout the world.
Mm.
But those who invented democracy, because they benefit and they thrive very well there, the capitalism and so on,
yeah,
they want people to go through that. So, because, you know, in democracy, they are not nationalists.
Yeah.
Nationalist does not only means that you live in a town. That means you want each and everything to be for that country of which you live, for your peoples.
Yeah.
Now, in democracies, when we talk about capitalism, we talk about somebody else who come and say, look, this oil sector is mine. I run it because I have money and I have military powers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I set the rules. You step aside.
Mm.
I give you whatever I want to give you because it's mine. Now, in another part of the world, that's not how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we keep stuck on democracy. Let's make use of democracy when democracies work for us. If it doesn't work for us, obviously, revolutionaries have to take over. And when revolutionaries take over and it delivers, obviously we must see, because what we actually want is delivery. We don't want the so-called democracy, and it doesn't deliver anything for us.
We also have a history of a government that has been taken out. I mean, has the coup? The government has actually what is that? Overthrown by the military, and the military never actually, you know, change things never get better.
They are allowed to be infiltrated by the system.
So you understand?
Yeah,
so
I understand
this,
very well.
This is one example that we can look and say, well, yeah, that's bring out, you know, that's actually we see something different, you know, at least. But one thing, and I understand your point, and I understand honestly your point. What I'm trying to say is that we cannot just have a system where we have actually, you know, a throwing off government by military. As a way of changing government, you know, that shouldn't become the principle. Eh?
Yeah, you know, it doesn't open often. It doesn't happen often, but you know, when you give people no choice, obviously it has to happen.
Yeah,
because people need what they want, not what you actually want. You as a leader, so. You see, this is the problem.
That's a lot. That how many governments now that are actually led by junta, military junta, you know? So you have Niger, you have Mali, you have Burkina Faso, you have...
They are working in those countries, my friend. They are working. Those countries are not playing. They are working.
Yeah. No,
they are working in the interest of their own people. So that's why you see the Ursula von der Leyen are trying to come to Africa to try and convince the Africans, because those people, they get in bed with the Chinese and the Russians, and it really works because the Chinese are helping them to build refineries, a nuclear power plant, a reactor for civils.
Mm.
They build bridges. They help them in agriculture sectors. You see, everything is actually being formulated.
Yeah.
They got 50-50 or even more. Because there was even a said by the minister of the government of Niger, whereby they said if we can get the 300 to 150 to 200 billions out of our uranium, why do we have to to tax our local businesses then, because we are actually getting enough money from our natural resources to cover each and everybody, to cover the government service.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, how many commodities do we have here? Do we get something? We don't get.
Yeah.
When the Chinese are, when we are building roads here, levies are put there in order for the government to pay, because the government doesn't want to borrow anymore. Now, when you go and fill up your car at the service stations, if your car is 65 liter or 8 liter, 1,300, 900 goes in your car, and 700 goes to the levies, the government.
Yeah.
We are now automatically made as we are the commodities. And these taxes that you pay taxes on each and everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we want a government that we can praise ourselves. We want a government or a leader that we can reward.
Yeah.
By saying, look, you are not going anywhere because you have done what we want us to do, what we want you to do for us.
Yeah.
Stay there.
Mm. Yeah, no,
What we want is a leader that delivers. We don't want a leader that stays there, although you went through the three spots that are there.
Yeah.
Even if you are 90 and you are delivering, obviously, we want you because that is what we want.
Exactly.
Yeah. You see what
we're getting out of time now. Yeah.
Oh, so, thank you very much.
Yeah. So, all right.
All right, great.
No, thanks for your contribution.
Mm. All right. So, well, it's 1 minute past the hour of 10, and that's actually bring us to the end of Unpacking the Day. It's Friday. So I see my line is still flashing. So no, we have come to the end. And I want to hand over to Matthias. It's not Tate France this morning. Today it's Matthias Hangala, who is actually going to take over with Kutha Mosha coming up right away. So for me, I wish you a very good weekend. Don't do what I wouldn't do. Don't do what I wouldn't do. And if you do, when you're doing it, name it after me. All right? So this is for Big Mark. So, all right. So have a great weekend. Let's see each other again tomorrow at 11 o'clock until 1 when we do Mind Matters. Hopefully you join me tomorrow at that time. So for me, all well and bye from me.